නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය ඕම් නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය ඕම් නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය Api vaikusalam kinchit Griyasu griham medini Dharmasyartasya kamasya Yatra yogo hiya yoginam Api I'm wondering Va Heder, akusalam, inauspiciousness, kinchit, some, griyesu, at home, griyamedini, O my wife, who are attached to household life, dharmasya, of the principles of religion, Artasya, of the economic condition. Kamasya, of satisfaction of desires. Yatra, at home. Yoga, the results of meditation. He, indeed, a yoginam, even of those who are not transcendentalists. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Prabhupada. O my wife, who are very much attached to household life, if the principles of religion, economic development, and satisfaction of the senses are properly followed in household life, one's activities are as good as those of a transcendentalist. I wonder whether there have been any discrepancies in following these principles. Please repeat after me. O my wife, who are very much attached to household life, if the principles of religion, economic development, and satisfaction of the senses are properly followed in household life, one's activities are as good as those of a transcendentalist. I wonder whether there have been any discrepancies in following these principles. Purport. In this verse, Aditi has been addressed by her husband, Kasyapa Muni, as Griyamedini, which means one who is satisfied in household life for sense gratification. Generally, those who are in household life pursue sense gratification in the field of activities performed for material results. Such griyamedis have only one aim in life, sense gratification. Therefore, it is said, Yanmaitunadi griyamedi sukham itu cham. The householder's life is based on sense gratification, and therefore the happiness derived from it is very meager. Nonetheless, the Vedic process is so comprehensive that even in household life, one can adjust in activities according to the regulatory principles of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. One's aim should be to achieve liberation. But because one cannot at once give up sense gratification, in the Shastras there are injunctions prescribing how to follow the principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. As explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.9, Dharmasya hyapavargyasya nartoritayo pakalpate. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Those who are in household life should not think that religion is meant to improve the process of the householder's sense gratification. Household life is also meant for advancement in spiritual understanding, by which one can ultimately gain liberation from the material clutch. One should remain in household life with the aim of understanding the ultimate goal of life, tattva jinyasa. Then household life is as good as the life of a yogi. Kasyapa Muni therefore inquired from his wife whether the principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification were being properly followed in terms of these Shastric injunctions. As soon as one deviates from the injunctions of the Shastra, the purpose of the household life is immediately lost in confusion. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadama Yam Datati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam karoti vachalam pangalam ayate girim. Yakripa tamaham bande shiguru dinatarina. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the sky. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a dumb man like me can speak eloquently. I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale. Shimati Tamala Krishna Vaswamini Tinamine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale. Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Desatarine. And I offer my humble obeisances to all Vaishnavas present here and all those Vaishnavas who are not present here. Vanchakalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namo. So we read the verse again. Oh my wife, this is... Who is speaking here? Kasyapa. Oh, my wife, who are very much attached to household life, if the principles of religion, economic development, and satisfaction of the senses are properly followed in household life, one's activities are as good as those of a transcendentalist. I wondered whether there have been any discrepancies in following these principles. Kasyapa Muni is actually one of the greatest sages, the father of God. Very powerful yogi and powerful transcendentalist. He came back home after his meditation and he saw his wife morose. She was down, very upset. So he assumed that she maybe broke the protocol of the religious principles. And then later on, he assumed that perhaps maybe she didn't receive saintly people in the house properly, or they went away rejected by her, angry, or perhaps she was not conducting the Sanatana Dharma properly, in terms of worship, in terms of looking after the member of the family. So he suspected there was something wrong when he came back. Because we know that when we make offenses or we don't follow the religious principles, then we become morose, upset. We may think we are blissful, carrying on our life in sense gratification. Nobody is watching us. But God is watching us. The sadhus, they can see on the face when someone is an aparadi or Pashanti or a Sahaja or someone who is absorbed in self-interest, sense gratification. This is the power of a transcendentalist. But, however, Aditi, she was not bridging the religious principles. She followed all of them properly in the absence of the husband. But the problem was something else, that the children, the demigods, they lost their kingdom, power, wealth, opulence, beauty, and they were exiled from the heavenly planets. Now, maybe she didn't break the religious principles herself, but the children did. As we know, nothing comes from nothing. If there is action, there must be a reaction. Early on, if you read, there have been activities of the demigods, especially Indra, who often he falls down in his lusty desire. And the reaction, Srila Prabhupada, actually, there is one purport. I can't remember the reference and which canto, but it's interesting. Srila Prabhupada said the demigods, they are always living in Sukhi Bhava, enjoying mood. But they have a little percentage of interest towards the personality of Godhead. The majority is just enjoying. They're just interested in enjoying. And that percentage of interest in desiring the protection of the Lord is to protect their interest, to protect their sense of gratification. But at least it's something. Something is better than nothing. But all of you are doing more. More is better than something. Because the majority of your interest is to worship Krishna. And we try to minimize the sense of gratification that is available in heaven. So there is in one purport, Srila Prabhupada said that There is one reaction for the demigods they have to encounter, they have to pay, you know, they have to receive from lusty desire, from the sex desire, because, you know, Indra, he's messed around with several ladies, not just ordinary ladies, but the wives of great saints, Gautama Muni and a few other. We don't want to go there anyway now. But the reaction, Prabhupada says, is to be harassed by the demons. So you may go to heaven and you enjoy in full-fledged the heavenly planets in Sukhi Bhava, but when the lusty desire is activated, then there is reaction. Immediately, the deva, they are attacked by the demons, and that is the reaction. They have to pay. So in this case, Indra, for his offenses, he doesn't just lose his opulence, but he loses everything, all the demigods, the kingdom, the beauty. Later on you will find out that even the beauty is being taken away. So you could see that how dangerous is sense gratification. So that was the cause of losing everything. And of course, Aditi was living with them in the heavenly planets, and she also had to desert that situation. Now, she's here pleading to the husband, because the husband is also the father of the demons. That's the situation when someone lives in polygamy. One wife is partial to their children, and the other wife is partial to the other children. And the man is sandwiched between the two. So he has to act in a such way that both parties, they are satisfied. And that is why he gives us such a beautiful solution to Aditi, what to do in this situation, which we'll mention a little something later on. But the fact is that Aditi was in this Satya Sankalpa. Very often this word comes up in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Satya Sankalpa is that when you approach the Lord with a material desire, it is a bona fide thing. Don't be ashamed of it. If you have any desire, don't approach the demigods. Don't pray to the demigods, because they will let you down. The demigods, even like for example, here Aditi, she wanted to fulfill her desire, so the satisfaction of gaining back everything, all this material opulence for her children. And Lord Brahma, who is the father-in-law, he was available, but she did not approach him. She was quite intelligent. So she approached her own husband, who is also a spiritual master to her. And because she wanted the best solution. Sometimes we wonder why, if we have a material desire, why we are forbidden. Why Srila Prabhupada says, don't approach the demigods. For example, Brahma, when he gave the boon to Hiranyakashipu, yes, you become almost immortal, but the demigods, along with a boon, they will give also the influence of their guna. the mode of passion. And that's why Hiranyakashipu became so proud. He achieved all the boons because pride is born from the mode of passion. Whereas Prahlad Maharaj, he received the same boon from the Lord, Lord Nrisimhadev, Lord Vishnu. He could not be burned by fire, he could not be crushed by the elephant, he could not be poisoned by the snake, he could not be cut or weighed or whatever. But along with that boon, because Lord Vishnu is the embodiment of the mode of goodness, and what comes from goodness? Humility, yes. Panchagada Prabhu, he knows about it. So, when you worship Krishna, he will give you something, his influence, his own influence, which will not cause you to fall down. Like Ravana also, he worshipped Shiva. And he became very powerful. But along with that power, he was stuck with something else. What was it? The mode of ignorance. Because Lord Shiva is in charge of the mode of ignorance, so Ravana, he became mad. From the mode of ignorance, madness is born. He became mad after Sita, and then he was destroyed by his own madness. Just like there was another demon who worshipped Lord Shiva to get the boon that whoever head he will touch with his finger, the head will explode. What was it? Banasura. Vrikrasura? Someone says Banasura, Vrikrasura. Basmas. Who is that? Somebody. Somebody who received the boon, and then he became... Then as soon as he got the boon, he wanted to touch the head of Lord Shiva. He was chasing Lord Shiva because he wanted to enjoy Parvati. See the mode of ignorance, madness. But when you get the boon from Lord Krishna, you can't go wrong. He will give you the mode of goodness, that you become purified, and then he will lead you to Paramgati, liberation. Whatever we do, we should always approach. If you want the knowledge, Narayanam Param Jnanam. If you want tapasya, perfection in your practice of austerity, Narayanam Param Tapa. If you want a perfection of yoga, Narayanam Param Yoga. If you want the best of karma, you know, opulence, material desire, Narayanam Param Karma. And then if you want the liberation, Narayanam Param Gati. Actually, there are two verses. Narayanam Param Gati and Vasudeva Param Gati. Vasudeva Param Yoga, Vasudeva Param Jnana. So this verse is emphasized, but it's the same Supreme Lord. Anything you wish, just worship Krishna. Even if you have a material desires, we all have a material desires. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have this body. We are all guilty of enjoying the environment. Isn't it? Otherwise this is a prison house. We've been put here as a punishment. We went away from Krishna to try to enjoy. And that's why prison house, Durga, she's keeping us into this environment. And this is the prison uniform, the body. Now if someone comes to you and says, I have no material desire, don't trust that person. He's trying to sell you something. So, Aditi, very clever. She wanted the best of solution. She expressed her plea to the husband, because the husband, he was a bona fide spiritual master. And he was not an impudent person. He didn't say, okay, I will tell you what to do, follow me or worship me. But he instructed her to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with this methodology called Payavrata, process of worship, which consists in fasting for 12 days in the month of Palgu. And actually, reflecting, I was reading a little bit yesterday, it is in the month of Palguna, it's actually the Ekadasi, the last Ekadasi of February, and the first Ekadasi of March. And one should fast and only drinking milk and worshipping the Lord up to the day of Dwadasi, which was yesterday. So this was the period of time when Aditi performed this great austerity. But you are in Vrindavan, so you don't need to do milk, you know, the fasting from food. You don't need to do any process of yajna. Our process is very simple. We chant Hare Krishna, we preach, take prasad, you come here and you purify yourself so you can go back to your respective countries and carry on your preaching. And this is recommended for Kali Yuga. It's a recommended process, much more powerful than Payavrata. And so every process is actually delineated or given by a particular spiritual master according to the disciple's situation, according to the environment. According, like Lord Chaitanya, he gave this Yuga Dharma, the chanting Hare Krishna mantra, and this is our process. But at that time, the process recommended for Aditi was the Payavrata, which was not concocted or manufactured, Prabhupada will explain later on, by the spiritual master, Kasyapa Muni. It was actually the process that Lord Brahma gave to him. Actually, Lord Brahma was not just his param guru, but he was his grandfather. Kasyapa Muni was the son of Marichi. Marichi was the son of Lord Brahma. So they were all educated with this Payavrata, this process of worship. But even in this process of Payavrata, you will find the famous verse, Aditi, she had to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. There was all these different items of the eight process of devotional service. They were all there. So you could see this is an eternal occupation of a Vaishnav, to always remember Krishna, to always chant the glories of Krishna. Whatever age you are born in Kali Yuga, or Satya Yuga, or Dwapara Yuga, this is actually the prominent, is the principled process. It's the heart of the Payavrata. So, and then he instructed her to worship the altar, worship the sun with a Gayatri mantra, to worship the Brahmins, worship the water, the fire, and ultimately worship the spiritual master. This is actually the process of Payavrata. And at the end, she achieved the supreme goal, which was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as their own son, Aditi and Kasyapa. And who was it? Vamanadeva. He became the younger brother of Indra, Upendra. Upendra means the younger brother of Indra. And he became famous for his three steps, and another name was given to him as Trivikram. And you can see that Kasyapa Muni was very intelligent, that he was not even partial to the demigods. He was smiling when before he gave the Srila Prabhupada very nicely explained, because you know he was the father of both the demigods and the demons. You can't be partial. Can you imagine yourself? You have two children, one is good, one is bad. What do? Do you reject the one that is bad? No. You always love your children. They're from your flesh, from your biological system, and they're given to you by God. It's the fruit of your karma, fruit of your very being. You know, wherever you are, you are actually projecting in this world a mini image of yourself. You can't reject. So Kasyapa Muni was very transcendental, more transcendental than Aditi. Aditi was partial to her kids, and they say that partiality, it's actually the pragmatic proof of attachment. The pragmatic proof of attachment is partiality. When you're partial to someone, means you're attached to that person. But Kasyapa Muni was not. He was completely transcendental. So he did something very special. Yes, he gave the kingdom back to the demigods, but he also glorified the leaders of the demons, and he gave him a kingdom even better than the heaven. He gave him another planet, Sutala. You can see the Lord, he could understand the desire of Kasyapa. You know, so he arranged the win-win situation. Give the kingdom back to Indra, let him carry on enjoying. But for you, the head of the demons, Bali Maharaj, I'll give you bhakti. And in fact, Bali Maharaj, on the next Manvantara, he's still on Sutala planet now. On the next Manvantara, he becomes the Savarni Indra. He'd be a position even higher than Indra. But at the moment, he's been blessed by Vamanadev with a bhakti, opulence, power, a planet, which is transcendental. And not only that, the Lord he becomes Bhaktivatsala. You can see that the Lord, Vamanadevi, it's not the gatekeeper of heaven, is he? Heaven, you know, is supposed to be, you know, like paradise, very beautiful. But no, he's not interested in what the demigods they are doing. But he became the gatekeeper of Bali Maharaj. And doesn't matter if you are a demigod or if you are a demon, but if you have a bhakti for Krishna, Krishna becomes your servant, Bhaktivatsala. So that's how the situation was balanced. Win-win situation. There's so much intelligence behind it. Everything is perfect. Whatever the Lord does, it's apurusheya, without any imperfection. Very, very perfect. He always is very expert how to please everybody simultaneously. We may be expert to please someone because we are partial to that person, but then somebody else becomes upset. I was walking yesterday, I bought some Mahaprasad, 2 plates of Mahaprasad for breakfast for me and my wife. And I got out of the gate and there were some beggars, they wanted some money. So I gave prasad to one, and then another one came, and then I gave prasad to the other one, and then another one came, but I had nothing. And then they, you know, why you gave it to her and not to me? You see, partiality. Then some, they got upset. You can't please everybody. It's impossible. So to the third one I said, I give you a hug. So I gave her a hug. I can't give you money because I don't know what you do with money. But occasionally I give some rupees. And it made me thinking, you know, it's impossible. If there is all these beggars, they see you giving, giving, giving. And then put yourself in the shoes of someone who doesn't ask for anything but is struggling and he doesn't get anything. Then they think of you that you are partial. You only give it to those who are asking. I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, always give it to those who don't ask you. And then he said, but even better than that, if you respond, you know, the same way they are attacking you, you know, please give me something, give me some. You harass them, then they leave you alone. Because they don't have anything to give you. So, it's a partiality brings discontent. Of course, Krishna is impartial. Samoham sarva bhuteshu namedveshasti napriya. But still, according how much a bhakta, a devotee, surrendered to him, he will reward accordingly. So some partiality is there, but he's equal to everyone. In the eyes of God, nobody, we are all useful and nobody is necessary. So Lord Krishna is very, very expert how to please everybody. So in this way he pleased Diti as well. By making her son a Mahabhagavat. Not only that, he became one of the Mahajan, the same position like Lord Brahma, Narada, Shiva. Bali Maharaj is, you don't find Indra as a Mahajan, do you? Do you? Yes or no? Is he a Mahajan? If you want lessons of bhakti, do you go and worship Lord Indra? No. He will only give you lessons how to enjoy very nicely, very beautifully, very heavenly. So why being enamored by the heaven? There are so many people, they appear to be, sometimes I do book distribution, I'm in charge of book distribution for England and Europe. And I always stress something in the seminars that no matter who you find as recipient to receive this Krishna consciousness, even sometimes people were demons, they appeared to be demons. There was one devotee, before he became a devotee, he was kicking the devotees. I don't want to mention a name, but he's. And then he became. One day, he got beaten up by the devotees. And then he stopped. He got purified by the same beating. Then he became a devotee, and he became the secretary of very famous guru, one of the 11 guru. Probably you know who it is. It's someone who's been serving for like 20 years, and now he's very nice. He was he always says, I was a demon. I never believed in God. And I would kick on the face all the religious practice, because the religions are the cause of all the problem in the world, cause of war, the cause of politics and dissensions, dissolutions. But now he's a devotee. So who is to judge? Sometimes a great demon becomes a great devotee. Or even an insignificant demon becomes a very significant devotee. Doesn't mean just because you had some private pious life that you are... I was brought up in a Catholic monastery, and I can say with a hand on my heart, there was 500 children in the monastery, and I was very, very naughty. I was lying all the time, stealing from other kids. We all used to do that. And there were other kids. They were always winning like reward, you know, of being truthful, being clean, being very compassionate, giving. And they would win from the nuns, you know, all these rewards. And I was envious of them, because I would never win anything. So I always felt, you know, that I'm useless, you know. Then when I became a devotee, and I was always thinking, in retrospect, why me and not them? Why me? I achieved, you know, the mercy of Krishna, to come close to Krishna. In fact, when you reach the age of 16, I was brought up in a Franciscano monastery. They ask you if you want to be registered by the Vatican, then you can become celibate for the rest of your life, and then you can study and give masses and all these things. And then when it came to me, it was a lot of these good guys, you know, they became priests, sacerdoti, officially priest. And I said, no. They said, why? I said, because I like women. I like women, and I don't think I can be a celibate for the rest of my life. So I like women. I like to get married, and I like God, both. So then they said, yes, that's very truthful. But there are a lot of priests, believe me, that in the garments of celibacy, and they do a lot of naughty things. At least we are, those who are in Grihastha ashram, we are living with ourselves in good conscience, that okay, even if there is some desire there, I never suppressed my desire. I'm full of material desires. I am working very hard to purify myself. And this is, the Grihastha ashram is very purifying. Very purifying. Be always truthful. Be who you are. Don't pretend to be a brahmachari or a sannyasi or something that we are not. And we should live a life according to the religious principles. So this is the motto. Each one of us, we should always live the way we are, without putting on any suits. When I joined 1980, I gave up my suit as a master, and I put on suits as a servant, as a devotee. And I try always to remember the reason why I joined, because I want to be a servant. And this should be the mood of everybody. And in whichever ashram we are in. and carrying our life as a good example. You are a brahmachari, be a good brahmachari. You are a grihastha, be a good grihastha. You are a vanaprastha, be a good vanaprastha. You are a sannyasi, be a good sannyasi, not a pretender. They used to say, many I've been asked, when are you gonna take sannyas? I've been asked by a few sannyasis. And I said, when snow, the month of August, maybe I'll take sannyas. I don't think I will, because it's better to be a hard-working donkey householder than a playboy sannyasi. Confirmed. So we it's a very serious thing to take sannyasi garments, to be a brahmachari. Otherwise, we can follow the example of, you can see how strict was Kasyapa Muni. He would go away. He was more than a sannyasi. He would go away from his ashram, from his wife, to perform years and years and years of austerity. And then he would come back and instruct his two wives in the religious principles. So it's 9 o'clock, and my friend Panchagoda Prabhu said I should finish by 9. But do we have time for questions? One or two questions we can take. Yes, Prabhuji. Okay, so if you I didn't really catch very well your accent, but I will repeat and then tell me if I got it. You said that Bali Maharaj was not a devotee, was a demon. Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee. So there is some difference between the two. And what was the rest of the question? That is, I understand your question. That is the prerogative of Krishna, Swarat, completely independent. He can do whatever he wants. If you are from a demoniac background, he can reward you better than Indra. If you are a great devotee, he can punish you worse than... See, whatever the law... there is a difference between the granting of mercy of the Lord and the way you are treated in this material world. You know, the leaders nowadays, they punish the success and reward the failure. Like, you know, devotees in Russia, they've been harassed by the government. You know, but they brought, you know, some sanity to the country, some God consciousness. They had to suffer. So you maybe, I don't know who you blame for that. And then there are, but... You know, they be great devotees. Basically now, so whatever the Lord gives you is all prasad. Whether He gives you a planet, whether He gives you a planet, or a tulsi leaf, or a smack on the face, that's all prasad. But the thing about Bali Maharaj, like Vritrasura was another one, isn't it? He was from a demoniac background. But he was higher than Indra. He achieved, you know... He was also a demon. He was an asura. Bali Maharaj was an asura. Prahlad Maharaj, you said he was a... Actually, he was an asura. He was born in asuric family. He was an asura. But asura or asura doesn't make... We are all children of God. When the consciousness is woken up and we start to recognize the Lord as the catalyst principle in our lives, then whatever you are, doesn't matter. The past, you have to let it sleep. So, whatever the Lord He did with Bali Maharaj, with the Dhruva Maharaj, He rewarded them accordingly. Mainly with Krishna Prem, with this Bhava Bhakti. Yeah? Are you okay? Thank you. Any other question? One more, then we'll stop. You, Prabhu, you had something? Oh. Oh yes, so Mataji over there. That was the everybody understood the question. That was the last life of Bali Maharaj, of a demon, until he got blessed by Vamanadeva. But then from there on he became a Mahajan, a great devotee. Alright, why the Lord didn't place him in the place of Indra? Because, why, I said it before in the class, because the Lord, He wanted to pacify and satisfy Aditi. So He wanted to keep the same Indra and all the demigods carry on enjoying. Fulfilled it, because Aditi, she performed the Payavrata. So it would have been unjust for the Lord to be ungrateful. And then, instead of rewarding her, he would have punished her by giving the position of Indra to Bali Maharaj. But the Lord, He did something else, even better. So Indra, you go back to heaven with all your entourage, and Bali Maharaj, I give you a planet. And not only that, I become your gatekeeper. Because Krishna, God, He doesn't like to be God. He likes to be a servant. Why he became, you asked why he became the servant, because that's what he does. He came here 5,000 years ago, he washed the feet of Brahmana Sudama. He became the servant of his devotee, the Brahman. And Lord Chaitanya, he comes as a bhakta to serve his devotees, to serve all of us. He didn't come as a god, he came as a devotee. A devotee, it's much higher position. Those who worship, it's much higher position than the worshipped. That's why Radharani is much higher than Krishna. Because she's the principle of worship. Whereas the Lord is the principle, the object of worship. The one who is worshipped. And between the two, the worshipper and the worshipped, the worshipper is always higher. So that's why the Lord, He likes to worship. So He worshipped Bali Maharaj because there is a special rasa in serving rather than being a master. There is more, the nature of the soul is to give a pleasure, give service, not to take. God has been taking from since eternality. He doesn't like to do that. Sometimes He likes to give. And He finds more pleasure in giving. So this is the position of God. He likes more to serve than to be served. Yeah? I think we have to stop now because it's 10 minutes past. But thank you very much for your question. And thank you all of you for being here and listening to me. Hare Krishna. All glory Srila Prabhupada. Hare Bhagavan.